Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Appreciate your presence. Invite you to come back this evening. And Brother Skip's preaching as well. Kind of a strange thing. It happens every once in a while. Like last Sunday, Chad starts out in James 4 chapter, and I thought, oh no, Chad's going to preach my lesson. And what am I going to do? And then what do we do this morning? In Bible class this morning, we're studying the 22nd chapter of Genesis, and lo and behold, there's a lot of my subjects coming here, and a lot of things we're talking about in my subject this morning, and so that kind of frustrates things a little bit. But appreciate you being here. I want to take a look this morning for just a few moments at Satan. And you know, it's an advantage to us a lot of times when, you know, you hear people like when I'm playing maybe chess or something with somebody, and you've played with them enough, you kind of know what they're going to do. You have a feel for how they're going to move. What an advantage that is to you, because, you know, you're able to kind of counter that. MacArthur said, you got to get to know the enemy so that when he does the same thing. So when he maneuvers in certain ways, you're able to counteract, and we're able to survive that. We're able to overcome that. And so it's a good thing to get to know your enemy. Get to know how he functions. Well, I want to look at Satan for just a little bit this morning. Satan is not somebody that is dressed in red. You know, I haven't seen a picture of him in a long time. It used to be, you'd see him when I was a kid growing up, you'd see pictures sometimes of this red man in here. He's got these pointed ears, and he's running around. He's got this red pitchfork, and he's got this pointed tail back here. And Satan is not that way at all, is he? And Satan is not somebody who's sitting on our shoulders whispering in our ear, you know what, to do something bad. He's working on us really good. He says, hey, go ahead and do this. You know, I know it's bad. He's trying to get us to do that. That's not how Satan works. Not that way either. And here's another misconception. It's like when you've got a loaded gun and you're going out in the field and you're hunting, be sure that gun's pointed at the ground so if it accidentally goes off, you shoot Satan. Well, Satan's not down there, is he? We know from the teaching the Bible that, you know, he's in another place. But, you know, those concepts we have about that are just kind of, they're not the right concepts. So we got to get to know Satan a little bit this morning. And so I want you to turn back over, if you would, to Job, the first chapter. Because that's where we begin to get a good picture of what he's like. In Job, the first chapter, beginning in verse 6 and going through verse 13, we find this in here. We find that there was a day when the sons of God were coming to present themselves to him, to present themselves to the Lord. That's what it says in there. But I want you to kind of note this. We've been studying over in Genesis, the 6th chapter, and about verse 2, where this passage, the sons of God again, and this is just a side note for just a moment, but notice what it says here. It talks about sons of God over there as well, but notice on this occasion in here in Job, when this word sons of God comes up, that he's talking about, guess what? He brings up Job. So what does that tell us a little bit? It tells us, when I look at the sons of God, that you know what? These may be men who are kind of God-fearing and serving God, more of a godly person than the other, as when you get to thinking about that over in Genesis. And so I just wanted to pass that on this morning. But here we have Satan. He shows up as well. They come to present themselves to God, and here's Satan. And the Lord says to Satan, if you notice there, he says, where have you been? And he says, I have been out roaming about on the earth and walking about on it. Well, he's here on this occasion and here when they're going to present themselves. And notice what he does. The Lord says, and this is an amazing thing to me when you think about it. The Lord says to him, he says, have you considered my servant Job? Does that sound like to me? And we talked about a little bit that in class this morning. You know, it's like God permits us to be tried. We're going to be. It's going to happen. But he says to Satan, he says, have you considered my servant Job? He said, take a look at him. And notice what he said. Notice what it says in there. Job was blameless. He was blameless. He was upright. He's God-fearing. And he's somebody that turns away from evil. That's what he says about Job. But notice what Satan does. Satan gets right back. Jumps right back in here. He says, well, no wonder he's that away. He says, look what you've done for him. He said, you built a hedge around him, and you have blessed him in everything that he does. So, you know, why would Job wanna, you know, go against you, God? You built a hedge around him. But notice, Satan or God or the Lord permits him to go ahead. He removes that. He removes that and says, okay, you go ahead and you did it. You go ahead and try him, but you know what? Don't take his life. Don't take his life. And so now then, looking at verses from 13 down to 22, let's go on in here a little bit. Notice what we find. And this is in a day's time. In one day's time. Now, just kind of keep that in mind. Here's what happens. The Sabians come, and notice what they do. He's got the oxen are out in the field plowing, and the donkeys are next to them. And the Sabians come, and guess what? They take the livestock and kill all his servants with the exception of one. And can you imagine being the one guy who's going to go back over here and tell Job, here's what happened. And then we see something. The second thing that happens to him, to me, is really, really kind of a sly thing on Satan's part. Fire comes down from heaven. You know where God's at? You get to think about that. Well, he's up there. And he says, fire comes down from heaven. And guess what he destroys? He destroys the sheep. And by the way, when I thought about that and saw the sheep destroyed, Job's not going to have a way to offer any sacrifices back to God. That's all gone. And it looks like God's been the one who's taken it away. And so there's one man left. There's a servant left. And the servant comes back. And the servant's going to go over here and he's going to tell Job what's happened in this situation. And so he tells Job that, but we're not done yet. Notice, the Chaldeans down here. A band of Chaldeans, they get together and they come over here and they take Job's camels are taken. The camels are stolen and all his servants are killed again with the exception of one. He's going to get to go back over here and he's going to tell this to Job as well. Now think about all this stuff that's happening in Job's life. Job, you know, he this, when we look at this and think about this, Job's had a really, really rough day. But you know what? This day's not over yet. From your reading ahead in here, we see what happens. It's amazing to me. All of this started out, and he mentions the very first thing in here, that all the kids, before all the attacking goes on, all his kids are over in the oldest son's house. They're over there in the oldest son. Now, it looks to me like, there's a possibility we're going around from house to house, you know, the kids getting together. But on this particular occasion, think what that is. The oldest son. Here's the one that's going to, he would be the one to inherit. The kind of thing that we see has been going on through the ages in here. The oldest son getting the biggest portion. But they're all in the oldest son's house. And a wind comes and this house falls in on the kids and some of his servants as well. And they are all killed. And you know what? There's one guy left. He's going to be the guy that's going to go over here and tell Job what's happened on top of all of these things that have happened already. And we've had some bad days in our lives. And I look, and I know about a lot of us here. We've had some really trying times. You've gone through some trying times. We've all gone through trying times. And some of us have gone through more trying times than others, and we know that. And every once in a while when I get to thinking about y'all's situation and some of the things that you all have been through, I say, thank you, dear God, that I haven't experienced some of the things that you have. We got some pretty tough people among us this morning. Very serious. Some of the things they've been through and hung in there. Notice verse 22. Look at verse 22 in this. It's in all of this, it says in there, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. That's what verse 22 tells us. And just stop and think. Job went from riches to rags, and that's not the bad part. That's bad. But Job went from riches to rags in one day and lost his kids in that same day. I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine when I think back in here that God would said what he did about him. Have you considered my servant Job? He had enough confidence in Job that he would come through this. And I got to think, well, what about us? Can you imagine sitting where we're at this morning? Can you imagine one of us, God having enough confidence in one of us that he'd say, hey, Satan, have you considered this servant here? Have you considered this servant? And so I was thinking about that in this situation here. What about us? But notice in James, over in James, the first chapter in verse 13, passage there tells us, he says, let no man say, all right, when he's tempted, I am tempted to God. Okay, we got that. He says, you know what, don't go to God. Don't blame God for any of this. And just yesterday, a couple days ago, somebody, I don't even know where, I don't even remember where it was at. I just remember the statement, maybe at Walmart, going through there, and I heard somebody say, the Lord has done something, and right away, because I've been ready for the sermon, I picked up on that, and they're blaming God. They thought God's gone ahead and done something, so they're blaming God, and that's typical. You know, and I've heard people, even brethren in the church, talk about, well, God did this and God that, and here in James, and don't forget this passage, 1:13, it says, you know what? He says, you don't blame God. God is not tempted by evil, and he does not tempt. You get this? God, and he does not tempt any man. He doesn't tempt anybody. So we can't go around saying, you know what, God, why did you do this to me? But as we talked about in class this morning a little bit, one of the things, we will be tested by God, but temptations are going to come, and that's going to happen to us. If you turn over to Luke, the 17th chapter, in verse 1, you'll find this. Jesus, on this occasion, is talking to his disciples. And he says to them, guys, stumbling blocks are going to come. Notice that. He said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen to us. We know it happens because we've kind of experienced some things. Stumbling blocks. And that, when I look at that word stumbling blocks, a lot of things in there. Temptations and trials are going to come to us to see what we're made out of and how much we love God. He says, that's going to come. Trials, or stumbling blocks are going to come to us. And don't blame God, is what he's saying in there. Don't do that. And notice this. We need to back up and look at James 1 and verse 12 and the passage there. He said, and this is key, and please remember this and think about this. It says in there, it says, blessed is the man that perseveres under trial. You know what that is? It says, hey, here, blessed is this guy, but you know what? He's going to hang in here with God when he's tried. He's not going to give up on him. He's going to hang in here with the Lord. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has what? Notice this. Once he has been approved. Are trials going to come? Are you going to get approved or not? Once he has been approved, guess what? He will receive a crown of life that is promised to those who love the Lord. We're going to get them. We're going to be tried to see what we are made out of. They're going to come. They're going to come. He said, blessed is that man. And again, you know, just thinking back on us. People we've got sitting in this audience today. And there's people in here who are tried in a number of ways, in various ways. And please remember that. You know, it's going to come. But we have got to stand with the Lord whatever comes our way. And you know what? We're just going to be tried. We're going to be tested to see what we're made out of and how much we love the Lord. All right, go back over there. Look at the second chapter here in Job. Job 2, six verses in there. And notice this about on this situation right here. First of all, I don't know how long it's been. It starts out in here in verse 1. It says, we have another day. Another day when the sons of God are coming before the Lord to present themselves to the Lord. He said, that's what it is. He got another day like that. I have no idea in my mind how much time's passed from the very first time that Job has fallen or was tempted. The very first time that Job was tempted until now. Job's been stewing in what's happened to him all this time, okay? And we do that. We do a similar thing. And you know what? That's when we get beat up a lot of times. You know, a lot of times we get to thinking and stewing about things and it works on us and works on us until finally, you know what? Something else comes along and it's the last straw. That's it. It's the last straw. But not with Job. And this is in here for us to look at and to learn from this and to think about this when temptations and trials come our way. We have got to hang in here. And so we find that we find here in this second chapter that again on this day the sons of God come to present themselves before the Lord, and who shows up? Well, here he is again. Satan shows up again. And of all things, think about this. What Job has been through, the Lord, you know, and all the things we've been through. And here it is again, the Lord saying, have you considered my servant Job? What Job been through already? And he says, have you looked at my servant Job? You know what? If I'd have been the Lord, on this occasion after my servant had come to us, I'd wanted to rub his face in. You know, and that's how, but we see a characteristic of God here, and take a look at that. God is not like that. And just be thankful to God he's not. You know, it's like, but we see another characteristic of God in here and how he's dealing with Satan. He says, have you considered my servant Job? Job survived the first one, and Job's going to have another one. And I think about it. I stop and think about, man, how much can a person endure? This is for us. Take a look at this. Because I'll tell you what, he's been through some horrendous things already. But notice this. Satan has to ask permission from the Lord to do any more stuff to Job. He's got to ask permission. And in looking at that, I want to, and before I get away from that, I want you to notice this in here. He asked me to consider him. And notice, the Lord reminds him on this occasion. He said, you, talking about Satan, have incited me against Job. See, I thought that was interesting. And then, because you know what, when the fire fell down from heaven, when that fire came down there, and guess what, it looked like the Lord. And the Lord reminded him of again, you incited me. You incited me on this occasion as well. And Job remained faithful. And so now then, I wanted to go over to Luke 22nd chapter, verse 31. This was interesting to me as well in studying this. We find over there Peter on occasion. This is there at the Last Supper in here, and Peter, he's been up and saying, I'll never leave y'all. I'm going to defend you to the end. And we find over here that Jesus turns and tells Peter what? Look at that. He turns and tells Peter, it's like Satan is demanding permission to sift you like wheat. And so what I want to tell you this morning, what that does for us. Everybody sitting in here this morning, we are not going to be tempted beyond what we are able to. 1 Corinthians 10th chapter, verse 13. Look at this. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation, he says, has overtaken you that's not common to man. So you know what he's telling us there? You're not going to have something come at you temptation-wise that man doesn't know about. It's already happened to somebody else. So you're not going to get a temptation that's going to happen to you that hasn't happened already. Preach. And so, but notice this, the middle of this verse. It says, God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Isn't that awesome? That's an awesome statement. But notice this. It goes ahead in there and he says, but with temptation will provide you a way of escape. And you know what? We can use that. We can use that way. But a lot of times, you know what? When temptations come, we are not looking for a way of escape, are we? We're not looking for that way of escape. But you know what he tells us in there? He says, there's a way. I'm going to provide you a way to overcome and get out of whatever temptations you've got. What's coming at you? I'll provide that. And he's promised us that. And notice this. Over in James 1 and verse 14. And this is something I was thinking about too. It says, we go astray on our own when we are, when we're tempted from our own lust and the things that we want. And so I was thinking about that. Here we are. And here's the picture that we have according to James 1 verse 14. We're in this fold of safety. Like, let's just think about sheep for a minute. And what happens to us when we're in here and we're kind of in a safe condition? We're spiritually, we're good, and things are going spiritually for us really, really well. And here we are in here, but we get to looking on the outside at things, and you know what? Pretty soon, as we see something, we're kind of drawn to some of those things that out there. You know what? Pretty soon, we get out of this bowl of safety, and that's what happens. And Kyle, thank you for using my passage this morning. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says in there, it said, Satan's like a roaring lion who's about, out there seeking whom he may devour. Okay, so here it is. We've got it. Satan is out there. He's watching for us. And he knows us. And we'll get into that in just a minute here. But he's out there. You know, a lion, when he's hunting, he's not going to be out there in the way where everybody's just out here. I can see him out here. Oh, there he is right over there. So I'm not going to go here. I'll stay in the flock. What's he waiting on? He's waiting for somebody to get out away from the group. He picks on the group and he picks on the weak ones. And he tries, those are the ones that he gets. And so guess what? When we get out of the fold, what do you expect? He tells us there, he's like a lion. He's going to be ready to pounce on us when we wander out of safety. when we get out of that spiritual safety, we lose that spiritual thinking, our spiritual motivation. When we lose that and we get out here, we're dead. And that's what he said. He said, that's what's going to happen to us. You get out here, just like he said, just like the lion, he's going to be patient. He's waiting on you. And finally, we get out there and we go astray. And he knows us. You know, think about this. And boy, just for a moment, think about all the things we do during the course of the day that Satan can pick up on and know about us. You know, I don't know how you are when you get up in the morning, but if you get up in the morning, is Satan standing beside the bed? Because when you get up in the morning, you're a bear. You know, it's like, what are you like when you get up in the morning? Well, man, that's going to be the time I'm going to get you. You're up in here and you're in a lousy mood and just things that, you know, just waiting for something to come along. And you know what? He's just waiting on us. You know, we tell him all the time what's going on in our life. You know, it's like, you know how you can read people's facial expressions? You've been in a situation and somebody gets mad or upset and we got these expressions on our face and we wonder about, oh, you know, well, I know so-and-so isn't in a good mood today. Satan's looking at that as well. He's taking advantage of us. We're feeding him information. You know, the things that we look at, you know, even on the slide, you know, I'm checking somebody out here on the slide. I don't think anybody else is going to see me. You know, I'm doing that. Or other things on the computer, whatever it is, nobody's going to know. Satan's watching that stuff. And you know what? He's taking notes. He knows that. And when we're getting ready to stumble and what it's going to be a good advantage, what he's going to take advantage of those situations when we put ourselves in that spot. But you know what? I'm very vulnerable now. And we tell it. The things we say when we're driving, you know, it's like you're in a bad mood anyway. And so I just think I'm going to have somebody pull out in front of old Brother Terry today because he's in a bad mood. You know, just look what happens to us. You know, when things like that happen, you know, things go through your mind. Those kind of things. He knows and he's watching. He's got a book of stuff and knows our weaknesses already about every one of us in here. And he takes advantage of it. But you know what? We've got to stay in this fold of safety, spiritual safety, so that we don't get out here and get taken alive, get killed out here outside of that. So we've got to work on that. We've got to do a better job of that. We go astray. Don't forget, Jim, we already talked about James 1 and verse 12, once we've been approved. How do you get approved? You get approved by overcoming. We get approved by success. Over in Luke, the 4th chapter, and just this is when Jesus was tempted. Luke, the 4th chapter, and the first few verses that are right in there. Notice this about this, on the temptation of Jesus. Satan, Jesus has been out here in the wilderness, and he hadn't had anything to eat for several days. And Satan's out here, and he's just watching. And think about that again. He's out here watching for, you know, for him to get a little weaker, whatever it is. And so Satan shows up when? He's hungry. It says, tells us that in here. It says, Jesus is hungry, and guess who shows up? Satan shows up and says, hey, he says, why don't you make these bread? Go ahead and make these bread over here, you know, that'll take care of that. And notice the second thing that happens to him. You know, Jesus is here on this occasion. He's left heaven. He's come down here to be the sacrifice for us. And here he is. He's fixing to die for mankind. He takes him up on his pinnacle and he sets him up here. He's fixing to die for all the kingdoms of the world. And so he says, here they are. He said, look down here. Look at these kingdoms right here. He said, you know what? I'm giving to you. He says, I'll give these to you. Look what he's doing. Sly. And finally, he shows me the last one here. He says, you know, if you're who you say you are, he said, throw yourself down off here, you know, and because if you're who you say you are, they won't let you get hurt. The angels will take care of you. And so you know what? He's overcome that temptation there. But notice this. The last portion, the last verse in that ending of that in there, he says in there, he says, you know what? Satan leaves him for what? Is he never going to come back again? That's not what it says. Satan leaves him. And he's looking for another opportunity to come back. He's looking for another opportunity to come back when he can take advantage of the situation and maybe, you know, try to work on Jesus again. Well, when was the last time? When was the last time you said, Satan, get behind me? You know, when was the last time we have, you know, just told Satan, get away from me. I'm not going to do this. When was your last time? Well, in James, the 4th chapter, and Chad, thank you again. James, the 4th chapter, notice what he says in there in beginning of verse 7. He says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There it is, right there. It says, you know, we got to prep ourselves. We got to be ready for this. We got to be ready. So when he comes and we see him and we've got to say no, you know, get away from me and submit to God and don't choose the things that the devil is putting before us. You know, he's a really powerful being. If you notice over in Revelation 12 chapter and verse 4, Satan has tried to destroy our way to salvation. Did you notice that in there? And he's got this picture. He's trying to do away with that. And Satan is so strong. Notice what it says about him. He's such a powerful being that his tail is able to wipe away a third of the heavens, according to Revelation 12, verse 4. He's that powerful of a being. And we've got to beware. We've got to be careful. That's why. And notice in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. He says, our battle, our war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual powers of wickedness. Where? In heavenly places. And he goes ahead from that on and he says, you know what? He says, you got to put on that armor of God. And he's not talking about us getting a hold of something that we can see. You know, I'm going to get this shield out and going to put all this stuff on here, something external. He's talking about on the inside of us. You better get this armor out and put it on the inside of your mind. You better get it inside of you so when these things come at us, we're going to be able to stand there. We're going to be able to survive. That's what he's telling us in there. And he goes ahead down in verse 18. He says, don't stop there, he said. He says, you continue with prayer and you know what? Being on the alert. You've got to be alert all the time. And when I look at that passage of Scripture, some of the things I remember going back to service days, we'd go into areas, and it wasn't like a lot of times you think, we weren't in firefights every day. And those were days, there's times in between these blocks in here, were the bad times. You know, we get lax. We go into these areas in here, and we know he's in there, and for a while everybody's tense, and we're on our toes, and we're looking, and we're really, really aware of what's in the area in there. And so we go for days sometimes. Nothing ever happens. Nothing happens, and we go for days. And then you know what happens? We run into them. And that's when we lost them. We got lax. And so when I look at something here, I remember that. You get lax about taking care of your spiritual being, and guess what? We're going to lose. We are going to lose.
First Peter 4 and verse 17. Another passage. I think we got, I don't remember when it was used last Sunday or this morning even. Notice what he says in there, and then the invitation will be yours. In that passage of Scripture right there, and notice this. He says, judgment in there has begun. Judgment's begun. He's not saying there's not a day. He's saying in there, judgment has begun. He's looking at this time. We're under this old law in the past, and now then we're under this new law. We're under the law of Christ. And he says, this has begun. Judgment has begun here, and it's with us. And he tells us in there, he says, you know what? He said, judgment begins with the house of God. And he says, and if the righteous are scarcely saved, where will those who obey not the Lord be? If the righteous people are going to have a kind of a rough go, where are those going to be that don't obey? Well, that's my invitation to you this morning. I don't know where you're at spiritually. But if you have something that is amiss in your life, and you need that taken care of, you take care of it. If you need prayer for congregation, you take care of that today as well. But you know what? If you've not had your sins washed away, you still got them with you. And you stand in jeopardy of the day you stand before God. Whatever your need is this morning, please come and let us know while together we stand and sing.